Tom Rathman joins us on Sports Byline, the former NFL fullback who played 9 years in the league, eight of those with the 49ers and a season with the Raiders, and he won two Super Bowl championships, both with San Francisco, Super Bowls 23 and 24 against Cincinnati and Denver, and he was a third-round draft choice out of Nebraska where he played for Tom Osborne. Tom, you grew up in Nebraska, right there in the heartland. I've gone by, I've traveled by a sign that says Grand Island, Nebraska. Tell me a little bit about that town.
Yeah, you must have been traveling down Interstate 80.
That's it.
We live not too far off of Interstate 80, and obviously that runs clear out here to the West Coast. So I think it's 1,297 miles from San Francisco to Nebraska. So I've got a sign up in my house telling me how far it is. But, yeah, I did grow up in Nebraska, and, you know, a young kid growing up in the heartland, the one thing that you always wanted to do is you always wanted to play Nebraska football and have that opportunity. And being given that opportunity by Tom Osborne, able to get a scholarship out of high school and then go there and continue my football career was outstanding.
Tell me the first time you met Tom.
Oh, geez, I don't even know the first time I met Tom Osborne. I just know as a junior in high school is probably when one of the first times that I met him one-on-one that, you know, it was significant. But at the state track meet, he was there, and I ended up winning the state high jump that particular day, and he was there watching. I don't know if he was scouting or what he was doing, but shortly after that, I got offered a scholarship by Nebraska.
When you think about you playing high school football and then carrying over to Nebraska, you were always a fullback, weren't you, Tom?
That is true. I played a little bit of strong safety when I first started playing at Grand Island Senior High for Ken Fisher. He was our head coach at Grand Island Senior High. And then played a little bit of linebacker, but I was primarily a fullback. That's where my pride and joy position was. We ran the wishbone, actually, in high school, and then went on to, at Nebraska, we ran the option. So I was an option guy, but was a true fullback.
And were you comfortable playing that position, or did it just come naturally to you?
Well, I think when you think about it, your fullback should be like your Mike linebacker on defense. He should be the type of guy that sets tempo, leads by actions. And I always wanted to consider myself that type of player. You know, what I left out on the field, the way I approached the game, you know, the competitors that I faced, you know, that's would be one of the things that I would love to have them say about me, that I always brought it. And, you know, just love playing that position, so can't complain about it.
You know, one of the things that tells me is that you were very comfortable within yourself. Usually if somebody is a fullback or a blocking back, they really want to be in the tailback position. But that was never your desire, per se. Why were you comfortable with having that type of responsibility?
Well, I'll tell you what, when we were at Grand Island Senior High running the wishbone, the fullback did get to carry the football. So I was very comfortable, you know, getting to carry the football. I don't know how many yards I had in high school. I mean, I wasn't really about the numbers and all that, but it was every now and then nice to get the football. And then obviously it carried on when I went to Nebraska. You know, we'd run some off-tackle traps, hit them some traps right over the center, and they were very good for us. And I think I broke the single season rushing record my senior year for the fullback position at Nebraska. My senior year.
Yeah, 7.5 yards per carry, and you finished your career at Nebraska rushing for 1,425 yards and averaged over 6 yards per carry, so that certainly does tell you something. Let me go back to Nebraska. I have had it told me that when it's the second largest city in the state on a Saturday afternoon. Am I correct about
that? Yeah, that could be right. It's about 76,000. I think that's what it holds. I think it holds more than that right now because they've, you know, just continued to add on to the facility. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about seeing something really special. If you've never been to a Nebraska Cornhusker game, you got to go because they call it the Sea of Red. Everybody goes there and they wear red, and obviously it's just like a Sea of Red. So very very nice to see, especially when you're at home. And obviously, they treat the fan or the opponents. This is what I've heard from other people that have come into that facility, Memorial Stadium, and played. We actually got beat by Florida State 1 year, and our fans were clapping, cheering the opponent team going off the field after they beat us. So, I mean, that's kind of what our fans are about back there.
You played for three outstanding coaches, Tom Osborne at Nebraska, Bill Walsh at the 49ers, where you won your first Super Bowl, and then for George Seifert as well. What were the similarities or differences between the three of them, Tom?
Well, I guess, you know, when it all comes down to the three of them, one thing that they had in similar was they were all even keel. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get hijacked. They didn't get emotional. I know Bill did that last game, Super Bowl 23, when he kind of broke down when, you know, they asked him, is this the last game for Bill Walsh? You know, and then he broke down there. But, I mean, those guys were so even keel that you wouldn't know one way or the other. But great masterminds, you know, all in the right mind. You know, obviously George, being a defensive guy, you know, had to administrate from being a defensive coordinator going to head coaching position. And then obviously Bill, you know, with the West Coast offense, implementing that, and then, you know, how big it is in the game today. And then you talk about Tom Osborne, what he meant to Nebraska football and college football in general. The stuff he was doing back in the day, running that option football, people had a tough time stopping it. So all in their right mind, they were all masterminds.
Yeah, one of the things that I sensed, too, was the fact that they were like the captain on the bridge of the ship. And when it comes to football players, they need to have that, in a sense. Am I correct about that?
I would say that's very true. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Really, all they were doing was steering the ship.
And also, when you think about Tom, was he a type of rah-rah guy? I mean, were his pregame?
No.
I didn't think it was, knowing him
Like I said, all three of those guys were so even keel. I mean, they wouldn't get hijacked one way or the other, regardless what the situation was. And that's one thing that you knew you were going to get from those guys.
I knew with Bill, when I was doing the play-by-play at Stanford, his first time down there back in 77, the one thing I was struck by is, and this indicated to me he was going to be successful at the next level, was he always dictated the tempo of the game. He did not react to the other team's tempo. And you don't see very many coaches that way. They're always adjusting in some way, but he always believed in the way he wanted to do it, and he stayed true to that.
Well, I think that's totally true. You know, when he brought his game to the NFL, I think that speaks for itself. You know, the development of the West Coast offense, and, you know, really that goes back to the Paul Brown era when mm-hmm. he was working with Paul Brown, brought it out to San Francisco, got the type of personality, personnel that he wanted, that he foresaw, you know, being in his offense, in his system, and give credit to John McVay, all the scouts that were put together, the people that they brought in here, you know, from the draft, and acquiring free agents kind of set the tone for everything. But I think it all goes back to the structure of the system that was in place, the way your everyday operation was handled, you know, what type of scheme you were running, how it was implemented, how it was taught, all those things come into play.
How long does it take for a coach to feel out a team when they've taken it over and get the trust of the team, do you think, so that they believe in their head coach?
Well, I truly believe this, that those guys will know it pretty fast. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking in a matter of days. They'll know if you're talking what you're talking about. If you know what you're talking about, I mean, they'll respect you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if you get up there and you ramble and it doesn't make sense, and they know if it makes sense or not. I mean, they've been in it. A lot of these players have been around it long enough that they know when a coach knows what he's doing. And I think that's the bottom line. If you get up in front of a group of men and you teach, and they can appreciate that teaching and they can learn from that teaching, you will be respected. And I think they can figure that out in a matter of, you know, maybe two or three meetings.
We have about a minute before we have to break. But do I assume that with the championship teams that really the discipline doesn't come so much from the coach? Yes, it does. But but not to the degree that it comes, at least in the 49ers case, it came out of the locker room, the Ronnie Lotts, the Roger Craigs, and those type of people.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there, I think. And when you get to be good, I mean, players police players, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? We didn't need anybody else policing the locker room because we did it ourselves. And obviously it helps when you have players that have been there before, that have done it, that have gone all the way, have played on that big stage and been successful. That obviously helps to direct, and then everybody else got to step in line and follow.
Tom Rathman is with us, former NFL football fullback who played 9 years, 8 with the 49ers, came away with a couple of championship rings. As we continue across the country and around the world, we've got you on Sports Byline.